People seem to love crime content. Crime-related media has become a huge part of popular culture. In 2021, Criminal Minds was the most viewed TV show in the U.S.
I'll explain when I see you. I'll meet you in a half hour.
What's going on?
DC may have a serial killer, and they just let him get away.
In that same year, three out of the top 10 stream podcasts in the U.S. belonged to the true crime genre, one of them being Crime Junkie.
So if you can't get enough true crime, congratulations, because you just found your people.
Another, My Favorite Murder.
I'm Karen.
I'm Georgia.
And we love murder.
We love murder. We don't want to get murdered. We love true crime.
And last but not least, Serial.
From This American Life and WBEZ Chicago, it's Serial, one story told week by week. I'm Sarah Koenig.
And I'm Morgan White, and this is a Radioactive podcast. Radioactive is a program where youth come together and produce great radio at KUOW Public Radio in Seattle. True crime is a nonfiction genre where a creator examines a crime that has happened or is ongoing. My team and I wanted to dive into this genre because we're interested in its ethical aspects. Our first step was to talk to listeners. Our reporter, Colin Yeen, went out with his recorder in hand to see what folks were thinking and feeling about this topic. Hey, Colin.
Hey, Morgan.
So what did you find?
Well, I actually got a variety of different answers, but the first thing I wanted to figure out was, what was it about true crime that made it so appealing?
I think it provides the kind of details that you wouldn't otherwise get from normal news reports.
Honestly, I just like learning about the certain murders or like mysteries of the people that went missing.
I find it relaxing. I also like learning about like why they murdered the people, and this is going to sound really bad, but like how?
From what I heard, it's definitely no mystery why true crime has risen to fame, but sometimes it just feels kind of weird, especially when talking about people who died in terrible situations. I also decided to ask those same people if they had thought about the ethics of true crime as well.
I haven't really thought too much about the ethics, but I guess the victim probably wouldn't like it.
Yeah, it's genuinely just something I haven't put a lot of thought into, but I think I probably should from now on.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, really slightly, like at a minimum.
That was Cody Shibaga, Owen Sykes, Rita Baig, and Sarah Sizek, students at Issaquah High School. That was actually really interesting because after talking to the people about the ethics of true crime, it really seemed that they hadn't been thinking about it as much as they were listening to it. It kind of left me wondering, is there an ethical way to listen to or even to create true crime?
Yeah, that's a great question, Colin. But it's clear that true crime is here to stay. So we wanted to approach the topic of conscientious listening and creating. To get an inside look at the production, I reached out to a few true crime podcast creators. I wanted to discuss the ethical problems that may show up when creating this content. So I decided to talk to Matt Scher. He and his co-reporter, Eric Benson, started the podcast Suspect. It follows the murder of Arpana Janaga in 2008. She was a kind 24-year-old Indian-American woman who immigrated to the United States. The podcast focuses on Emmanuel Fair, who was a young man unsure of his path in life. At the party where Arpana was murdered, he was the only Black person present, and the police settled on him as their main suspect.
But just the fact that he was willing to share so much of this part of his life that had been so incredibly painful made it impossible not to get emotionally invested in it, right? Because someone is literally talking about the worst part of their life for hours on end.
One of the critiques of true crime, though, has been its entertainment factor. True crime is inherently focused on the tragedies of another human being. I asked Matt how he felt about making a true crime podcast that would be consumed as entertainment.
I feel like, in my most optimistic sense, I wouldn't want people to consume it as entertainment or as true crime, quote unquote. I would want people to experience it as a documentary about the criminal justice system. However, I know that that's not how people listen to podcasts.
Another critique of the genre is how we focus on the perpetrator and how the victim is often lost in the story. Here's Matt again.
Often there's a real focus on glamorizing the perpetrator and not talking about who the victim was as a person, which is just an oversight on so many levels. It robs people of a connection to another human being. It puts their focus on the wrong person or the wrong people. And it's just not a good way of storytelling.
Matt made it clear that he intended his podcast to not only share the life of Arpana, but also bring light to the inequity of Emmanuel's treatment. I didn't want to just talk to creators, though. I also wanted to talk to victims' families. And this is how One Love One did it. David Kushner.
Reliving my family's story for this podcast has not been easy. The loss and trauma and grief, that stuff never goes away. But I hope that sharing my story can, in some small way, help other people.
David is a journalist, and in his podcast, Alligator Candy, he tells the story of his brother's murder and how it affected their family. David explained that there were two sides, his journalist side and the side that had experienced it.
You know, my purpose was really kind of as a journalist to like say, you know, here's something that we hear about a lot and people are fascinated by, but, it, you know, we don't really hear about it very often from the inside. And so that's what I try to do.
Do you think the genre in general exploits victims and their families?
Yes, because I mean, I saw that firsthand. I experienced that firsthand. I still do. I know that almost as a reporter too, that's a fact. And we see that again and again. So yeah, I think there's a real problem with a lack of empathy for victims in general.
After talking to true crime creators who seem to make their podcasts for awareness and healing purposes, I wanted to dig deeper into the ethics. So I went back to my team and we started talking. We wanted to answer the big question. Is true crime ethical? Well, it's neither a yes or a no. It's a spectrum with a whole lot of gray in the middle. Ultimately, no one can dictate what media you consume or create, but there are ways you can be more intentional with your decisions. I decided to talk to our research reporter, Elena, to see what she had found.
Hey, Elena.
Hey, Morgan.
So what did you find during your research?
Well, I spoke to Subbu Vincent. He's the director of journalism and media ethics at the Markkula Center for Applied Ethics at Santa Clara University. He talked about how it's important for true crime creators to explain how their content was made, essentially being transparent with the audience and everyone involved. Disclosure should include information
that has to do with everything that the content creators have to say about where they got the material from, why they decided to actually do it, and whether they're making any disclosures about the people they interviewed. And the disclosure should also include the methodology. Like, did they modify anything in order to actually dramatize it? Or did they disproportionately look at one part of it because they want to make the case for it?
It's really three parts. Disclose what you're doing to the people you're working with, the people you're including, and then to the audience. Subbu also talked about accountability. When a creator makes an unethical decision, they should correct the mistakes in their content and explain the corrections. Issuing an apology to those who are harmed is also important.
Now, before you get too invested and binge the entire podcast or documentary, try stepping away after the first 20 minutes or so and reflect. Here are some questions you can consider.
Who is the main focus of the story? Is it the perpetrator, victim, related family members, or law enforcement?
What have the creators disclosed?
Who is included? Were they included with their consent?
Was any part of the piece fictionalized or dramatized?
These questions should push you to not only listen more carefully, but to think about the implications of the piece. And for current and aspiring creators of true crime, here are some questions for you to consider as well.
Why do you want to cover the story?
What do you want the audience to get out of your work?
Who do you want to center within your work? And how would that affect them?
Have you acquired consent from the people you included?
Will you disclose your methods and sources to the audience?
To any creators and consumers alike, remember, these stories are about tragedies that happen to real-life people. They aren't characters that solely exist for your entertainment. David Kushner, the host of Alligator Candy, wanted to leave us with this.
Perhaps my advice would be is to almost think of them as if they were in your own family, like to be that gentle about it and aware.
Thanks for listening to this Radioactive podcast. You can find us at kuow.org/radioactive. Say hi to us on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media and Twitter at KUOW Radioactive. If you haven't already, subscribe to the Radioactive podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a nice review while you're there. It helps other people find us. This podcast was produced by Elena Lee, Colin Heen, and me, Morgan White. Special thanks to our mentor, Esme Jimenez, peer mentor, Jadine Radak Kuphug, and editor, Mary Heisey.
Music by Blue Dot Sessions.